Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening. We have an interesting show tonight. We've got Larry on board, of course, with updates on the, I guess one could say, the North Korean enigma and possible domino that will begin the series of events from the Armageddon script all the way through to Daniel 8, Isaiah 17, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess we're kind of in the middle of something that we don't quite know what's going on. Hi, Larry. How's it going?
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Let's start with this North Korean thing. Is there any way to vet that? I did see it on some parts of Fox News. It finally showed up about this, what would you call it, an assassination attempt on Kim, I guess?
Well, I doubt that there's any way to vet it, because if it's true, and of course, let me read the headlines from Drudge today. Number one,
yes.
Headline, North Korea accuses U.S. and South Korea of assassination attempt against Kim Jong-un. Then that's attached to a report, biochemical weapon, spooks in the crosshairs, Pentagon looking at Iran, North Korea military link connection. And so that would be difficult to vet. It did originally, that I found, came through Associated News, Associated Press. And then it began to, it was on the Drudge Report, and then you said that you saw it on Fox News, and it's coming out now slowly. But the story would be difficult to vet, because the North Koreans are claiming they've captured an individual in North Korea that had communication equipment, according to them, with the CIA, or the availability to operate and communicate with the CIA. And he was also in control of what they called a biochemical weapon, or a poison of some kind, to assassinate Kim Jong-un. Now, you know, if it's true, the U.S. and South Korea are certainly not going to admit it. And if it's not true, then North Korea has a real good piece of what you could say propaganda to use. But this is what's interesting, and I'd like your opinion on this, Stuart.
Yes.
North Korea, after being told to tone it down by China, really brought a comeback against the Chinese, and you're well aware of the Chinese building artificial islands in the South China Sea. Well, at the same time,
yes.
Now a report comes out today that Kim Jong-un has his people building fake islands, if you want to use that terminology, or artificial islands, and apparently moving barges of missile launchers out towards those fake islands. So this is a real weird deal. I did hear some military comment on Fox today that are very, you know, they're using the language of where, you know, some military action appears imminent, because they just don't think that Hoon will back down. I don't know that he knows how to back down, Stuart. What do you think?
I don't think he does either. I think, you know, I mean, he's a brat. Pure and simple, he's just a kid. He's a brat kid. And he's always had his own way, I'm sure, and he gets what he wants, wine, women, and song. He can launch missiles. He can go down and watch his cannons bombard mountains. He loves explosions. It seems like he's in love with warfare and killing, because he does a lot of it. He could care less about his people, many of which end up in concentration camps, so horrific I don't think the American people could even get their mind around it. And I'm not saying the guy's insane. I think he's cunning. He's got wolf smart. And those are dangerous people, because he could have made up this whole thing just to stir the pot up. He loves to stir the pot. He loves to make trouble. I'm sure as a police officer, you've had many arrests where the person involved, for whatever reason, just loves to stir up trouble and cause fights. I don't know what the personality is that does that, but that seems to be kind of, from a psychological profile, what we're dealing with. Somebody that just likes to stir up the fights. He's very brave and all that, but in the end, he might not be. But then again, he may be playing a game. We do have the bot, not the bots, but we do have the remote viewers who are very, very emphatic that it will be Kim who is going to launch the first nuclear bomb of this age before World War III begins, it sounds like to me. But, yeah, I guess that's what I would classify him as, as cunning. He's Fox smart. He's diabolically smart, and he's unreadable. And, of course, because he is unreadable, the nations have just kind of let him go, but they can't really let him go too much further. If he gets a nuclear intercontinental ballistic missile, an ICBM with a nuclear head on it, with a, you know, bigger than Hiroshima or Nagasaki's bombs, the United States would be in trouble. I can't imagine that Trump is going to allow that. What do you think about that? I just can't imagine it.
Well, I think, Stuart, that's basically why, you know, some of the talking heads on Fox are really saying that they don't see us coming out of this really very good, other than having to have some kind of military strike, which would really, really, it would just decimate the Korean Peninsula. You know, if Kim unloosed what he has, whether we hit him first or he strikes first. And what's interesting, too, Dale had posted a headline, too, that North Korea was testing missiles that were simply designed to thwart that THAAD defense system that we brought over into South Korea. And, you know, and those are missiles that just don't have to go up real high to arc down where a THAAD could take them out. They're just kind of arc over to wherever they strike. And so he's cunning in that way. And you know, and of course we do know that, North Korea also has unknown quantities of chemical weapons, you know, not just nukes, but chemical weapons also.
Right.
And, you know, Japan is very vulnerable. Matter of fact, the task force has, you know, not only a U.S. carrier fleet, but we've also got Japanese warships and South Korean warships and also a French and I believe a U.K. warship escorting supply ships. So, you know, all of this is not going over there just to spend the dollars and come home. This is the kind of thing that this reminds you almost of a buildup like World War II.
Yes. And, you know, we're at that right time of year. We'll have to get into this 5777 again. I found a very interesting, almost secret code that came out in 2002. You don't really realize what it's telling us until far later. But I think the code is right there that we are at this kind of pivot year, 5777 and 5778. Which is kind of like, I guess, what Eli Rip and Glazerson and some of those guys are finding. Now, you said there was a new code out by Barry Rothman as well on this situation with Kim. Do you have that in front of you?
Yes, I do. And matter of fact, I posted it on today's newsflash in case you just want to click over there and see it right quick and then click on the link under the photograph that I've got, and it'll take you right to the code itself and what Barry says about it if you want to read some of that. But interestingly, this is a Barry Rothman code. It you know, the time I got it, he said it was still under construction. He did it May the 4th, which was yesterday. It's called the Mother of All Bombs to the Core End DMZ, and we know that means the Demilitarized Zone, which we've talked about. And I'll read off the text that he found in the code. Number one, Mother of Bombs. Number two, DMZ. Number three, Korea. Number four, Moab. Number five, all who go out to war. Number six, artillerist. Number seven, cannon. I find that very fascinating, the way that wording is in that code.
Artillerist and cannon. Well, that would be what he's got to, that he's aiming at Seoul. Doesn't he have bank upon
Japan.
Bank upon bank yep, upon
Seoul.
Bank?
Yeah.
So that would be kind of a artillery barrage, most likely, that he's talking about for the word cannon. But then that almost sounds like we drop a mother of all bombs, and his response is a artillery response. What do you think? How does he spell it out? What does he think?
Well, are you? Did you click on to his?
Yes.
I don't have that in front of me. But my only thing is on that. That sounds kind of like you may be accurate because there was an admiral on the other night on Fox that said that we need to drop a bunch of Moabs, a preemptive attack, drop a bunch of Moabs on his cannons and his artillery that were aiming at Seoul because he could actually use shells that have chemical weapons in them or other weaponry. But it sounds like almost that, you can't tell how to put all these together. But interestingly, the remote viewers, when they really remote viewed, and the nuke especially, it was under that demilitarized zone area, which is odd that Barry now has found DMZ in this TOR code.
Okay, then he says figure two, which shows the same mother of bombs axis term, Trump, China, Russian, Japan, Israel, two rocket. I mean, usually these codes are sending out warnings that we're about to go to war. And as Trump has said, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do, and I'm certainly not going to tell you when I'm going to do it or how I'm going to do it. So this may all be set up. This may be all part of that Armageddon script that we're talking about, and that North Korea is simply the first domino to fall. What do you think? I mean, it's beginning to look like this is all scripted to me.
Well, the way all you've got really Korea, you know, as a peninsula surrounded by militaries, and I mean militaries with nuclear weapons. I mean, Russia's got nukes. They've got the missiles, you know, right now. China's got nukes. They've got the missiles. You've got the U.S. out there in the same region, you know, and, you know, we have availability to all of that. Then you have conventional armies of South Korea and Japan who are involved because they're basically wondering if they're the victims of an attack. And this could really be, you know, I'm fascinated with the term you use. This could be the first domino that begins to fall. You know, I've often watched someone set up dominoes. I've never done it, but people have set up dominoes, and then they just tip one over that begins to hit other dominoes. And it's really kind of fascinating how that works. But this could be the first tip.
Well, it does sound like it. It says he's got in yellow on where he shows the code. It says, all who go out to war against North Korea will likely depend upon the mother of all bombs to take out the artillery at the DMZ. That's how he's reading it. Well, you can either read it that way or they make a mistake and the artillery goes off and Seoul becomes past history. They got to be very, very careful how they do this. What's Kim's reaction to this so-called attempt on his life? Has he gone ballistic yet, or is he just typical bellicose remarks.
Well, he's actually moving a lot of military around. You know, of course, they recently, North Korea recently fired a missile from a sub, and we find that Iran just the other day fired a missile that was similar to the Korean missiles that are launched from subs, and they fired one. So, you know, like we've talked before, Stuart, you know, they're parallel programs. I mean, they're running this together. And that makes you wonder about the scenario, too. You know, if we get into it with North Korea, will this bring on Daniel 8? Will North Korea being under attack actually, and we don't know whether there's really a compact between the two of defending each other. In other words, if there's a compact and we don't know about it, it could mean that if we attack North Korea, Iran has to strike in different directions.
Yes. That's a very good point, because that might be they both know they're under attack, basically. They both know that sooner or later they will be probably eliminated. So if we attack North Korea, the cleric in Iran, ancient Persia area, will launch their own attack. So, yeah, this could be how that domino effect works. And then we've got this problem in Kosovo developing. We've got the problems in Israel developing. So the Balkans and Israel and Syria, Iran, Turkey, kind of looks like the last of the last days is closing in on us. Because Ezekiel 38 and 39 more or less indicates that not only does America go down, the nation of Israel will know that God really is. And they will know that he is their captain, so to speak. So there's got to be a lot of revelation here on earth as to that the fact that there really is a God who has favored Israel, even though everybody hates her, and the nations of the world are gathered against her. And I wouldn't doubt that even the North Korean situation will somehow get blamed on Israel, because they'll say, well, Donald Trump instigated it, and Donald Trump's in bed with Netanyahu and the Mossad and all that. So, and then we've got the internal problems we have right now. Before we get into the bots and earth changes and 5777, what's new on this war on Trump, we could say it is? Anything new going on?
Well, what's interesting is Hillary Clinton has came back out now declaring she's joining the resistance, and they were sharing this all day today on Fox. They were shocked she came out. And she's now joined the Obamas as the resistance to bring down the Trump administration. So, yeah, we've got a coup in progress. I mean, you know, we've been watching this ever since before the election. This started way back. And
yes.
Matter of fact, by the way, involving in this coup, now this is interesting to me. You've got James Comey, and we all know what's been happening for some time now, even during the election with James Comey. They have found out and confirmed now that the Clinton data that was used out of the UK intel folks to gather a dossier against Trump that was not accurate, that was not true, it has now been confirmed that James Comey demanded it be in the package deal with all the data released involving Russia. So that's part of the coup. But what I'm wondering, Stuart, and what's kind of a puzzle to me, if we have seen all of this, what you could say is Comey actions that are very telling, and have really revealed his, I guess you could say, what appears to be his innermost loyalty to the Clintons.
Yes.
What is he still doing in his job? Why is he still there? I'm wondering, where is Trump coming from on draining the swamp, or is he simply going to just leave Washington, D.C., go outside and lock the gate and leave the swamp inside?
Well, that's a good point. I'm not sure what he's doing, and I'm a little bit concerned because there was an article that said more or less that instead of draining the swamp, he's incorporating the swamp all around him. In other words, the swamp of, you know, the rich guys and the military rich guys, the, what do you call it, the military-industrial complex, are now basically in charge. And he's probably gone, you know, he may have capitulated. Who knows? You know, they may have taken him in the back room and said, look, Donald, this is the way it is. You know, and I know people probably don't believe in Satan, but they soon will. You know, he runs it. And underneath him are his cohorts in human flesh. And so the orders simply go out. So I don't know. I think we're headed for an impeachment for one reason after another that they're going to try and dream up. What's very interesting to me, too, though, is how they bring up the Russian-Trump deal and how the Russians attempted to change the election results, either by propaganda or hacking, which they've never been able to prove. And here's Obama coming up and getting involved and meddling in the French election by discounting Le Pen. Now, what's the difference? If Putin can come on TV and suggest that Trump might be the best way to go so we don't have a war, what's the difference between that and Obama doing what he's doing by meddling in the French election?
Exactly, exactly. And what's so interesting is this Le Pen, you know, very eloquently answered. Matter of fact, she gave an answer to that basically to the French people last night. She basically told them, you know, and of course, you know, Obama really does enjoy the presence of Angela Merkel from Germany, the one that I don't have to say who she is. But Le Pen very eloquently told the French people last night, she said, okay, French people, she said, if I win, you're going to have a woman as your new leader. But if I don't win, then Angela Merkel will lead France. And basically what she was saying is, that it's the rich men, it's the powerful people that's pushing this other program. And so really Le Pen is basically like another Donald Trump in some ways and offering kind of what Trump did, including a Frexit, which is a different, close to being a Brexit, you know. But what's so interesting there is Obama came out and, you know, pushed for the other individual, the one from the Merkel people and such, the banker. And so we see where this is coming from. I'd like your opinion on this, Stuart. It appears that the rich men really have their fingers in all the pies of really all around the world. Now, if they are beginning to have trouble with the people, they're going to have to do something. They can't keep letting the people overrule through exits.
No, they absolutely would have to do something. And the first thing that they usually do, particularly if you have economic problems all around the world, as we do, then you start a war. You start wars. And lo and behold, it looks like everybody is kind of warring against everybody else. I mean, you have England saying, well, we can use a nuke preemptively. Russia, we will use a nuke preemptively. We'll blow England off the face of the map. You got Kim, we'll just blow America and South Korea and Japan and all of our enemies off the face of the earth. Then you got China trying to cool Kim off, and he just gives them the finger, almost declaring war against China as well. It seems like, Larry, that the spirits of the fallen ones are beginning to rise up like the Book of Enoch says they will. And they're going to bring the humanity into a war and essentially annihilate the humanity.
Well,
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, let me ask you something at that point before we move on then. If those spirits are trying to bring this war now, like immediately, is by chance this war coming a little bit earlier than prophetically it should be? Is does there need to be a heavenly intervention to prevent or give us a little more time, or are those spirits going to stir the pot enough to start the war really early, which would cut down on the ability of God's people to finish the works?
Well, we do know that Israel has to rebuild her temple. I mean, we know that. That's part of the prophecies. I don't see how that can happen without a war first. So if the year 5777 is the pivot year, then we should see a lot more rhetoric towards wars and rumors of wars, and we should see that kind of activity accelerating as the days go by and maybe even ignite. And then we have their war over there in the Middle East, and they build their temple. In the past, Israel's had, this is her third commonwealth. In her first commonwealth, she fought five major wars on her soil and then built a temple. In the second commonwealth was almost identical, five wars and then a temple. Israel's fought four. They got one to go, and then they're going to build their temple. And then we're going to go into Daniel's probably 7 weeks. This gets into the timeline, which to me is absolutely fascinating. You may remember that we had the two comets on 1996 and 1997 that passed over the star Algol on April 11th in those years. One in 1996, and I think that was Hayakataki. In 1997 was Hale-Bopp. They formed the perfect cross directly over Satan's head, crossing exactly 1 year apart on April 11th. Now, that April 11th appears to be a date firmly marked in the heavens. And when that, and we got into this on in 2014. In 2014, there was a, on 4/11 of 2014, there was exactly 120 days to the Love Feast. Most people don't even realize that there is a Jewish feast day, or a Lord's feast day, actually, of Tu B'Av, which is kind of like our Valentine's Day, where the women go out in the fields and dance, and they all have white robes or white dresses, and the men select out their bride. Kind of pointing really to a rapture event where Jesus comes back for his bride. Well, this 11-4 or 4-11 is definitely embedded somehow deep within the Lord's timing. And what was interesting was that from Tu B'Av in 2014 to September 23rd, 2017, there were exactly 1,140 days. Oh, it's another 4/11 in reverse.
Huh.
So everything is pointing to not only Passover of this year, which we already went by, but to the star sign of September of this year. And that star sign has to be legitimate, because we not only have the destroyer approaching from the legs, in between the legs of Virgo, but Jupiter coming out of the womb of the Virgin, and Jupiter being the man-child. So, yeah, I think all of this is coming together. 5777. I want to read something to you. This is kind of interesting. Strange rumblings at the center of our galaxy. Los Angeles, Alta California. October 18th, 2005. They actually found the sign in 2002. On March this year, physics professor and astronomer Scott Hyman of Sweetbriar College made a startling announcement. Dr. Hyman and his colleagues wrote in the Science Journal of Nature that they had detected something very extraordinary at the center of our Milky Way galaxy. While analyzing low-frequency radio waves, images taken by the Very Large Array Telescope at Socorro, New Mexico, in 2002, Hyman and his fellow researchers detected an intermittent signal that seemed intelligently directed. The signal consisted of five, remember the number, highly energetic radio emissions of equal brightness that lasted 10 minutes each and appeared every 77 minutes over a 7-hour period from September 30th to October 1st. Now, isn't that a little strange that we got 5, a 7, 7, 7 coming out
wow.
in 2002 right from the direct center of the Milky Way? Now, that gets into the Mayans, and of course, a lot of people think, well, now you're getting into the occult and blah, blah, blah. I'm really only bringing it up because the Mayans themselves claimed that the home of the Creator, if he wanted to reach the Creator, he did everything through the core of the Milky Way, the black hole, which, of course, obviously black holes lead to another dimension. So with all this scientific stuff we know now and looking back at what the Mayans claimed, they knew there was a black hole at the center of the galaxy. They have a picture of it. We just found that out, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Something that they knew about all along. My point is, how come we have a code here of 5777 and a 10? You looked up 10. And it means law, right?
That's true, responsibility and law. And this is what's interesting, Stuart. I got to thinking after we talked, a 10 basically is two fives, and I thought about amen and amen to whatever that was talking about.
Yes, and if it does point to law and responsibility, isn't Daniel's 70th week under the law and under responsibility? I just think there's too coincidental to be, just a random event. And anyway, I just thought that was kind of fascinating, how
works. That is, yeah, that is fascinating and really timely because of the fact, and I mean, us talking about it's timely because, you know, Trump seems to be pivoting right now in May, where we're at right now, towards the Middle East. And as a matter of fact, he's got a trip coming off shortly where he's going to Saudi Arabia and then Israel. And then he's going to, I guess, address NATO. But what's interesting is his plans appear to be in Israel on May the 22nd, which is 11-11, basically. And
yes.
We just found out also, you know, that Trump, ahead of time, has already given twice now F-35 warplanes to Israel. And, you know, I think he gave 2 the first time and then 3 the second time, and maybe they're getting more even. So he's preparing them for something. And I just found out there's millions of dollars of military equipment and munitions prepared to go to Israel also. So does that basically somewhat go along with you talking about Israel needs a big war or one more war?
Yes. I think it does. And that's probably exactly what they're doing. the kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord. And, of course, this is what they have to do because this is what the prophecy says they're going to do. And remember, I got into the bots and the ascension and the possibility of tying that to the rapture. I wanted to read a little bit here. I want your opinion on it. According to independent sources, the earth is moving into a region of the galaxy that is leading increasing cosmic energies impacting our sun and altering human DNA. It is predicted that this will lead to many changes in human society, including major disclosures of advanced technologies. Isn't that interesting with what's going on down in Antarctica? Secret
yeah.
space programs and extraterrestrial life. And then down below it says, an acceleration and heightening of electromagnetic energy from the sun and other cosmic energies that will build, especially from late August into late September, will cause 23rd, 24th September, when he describes as a frequency shift in consciousness. Now, you remember, everybody was gearing up for 2015. And how the Pope and Obama shook hands and they went to the United Nations to institute Agenda 21/30/50. We had that sandstorm, remember, in Israel.
Yeah.
And it caused a two-day delay. I think that was a two-year delay. That was a two-year warning of the Lord. I'm in charge here. You're messed up on your calendar, and it's going to be a two-day delay. And that is why 5777 is the year, probably for the start. They all thought it was going to actually start in 2015. They spent billions, if not trillions, in movies and TV and everything else, pointing to this 9/23/2015. And the only thing that happened was Obama and the Pope shook hands on that date. But I just got a feeling that the Lord said, well, I don't care if you shake hands or not. It's 2 years from now. So do you think that's possible?
Well, it could be, actually. And as a matter of fact, there appears to be the Pope's warning a audience, I guess, with Donald Trump. I mean, I've been hearing some reports in the background about that. You know, nothing big happens without the Pope usually talking to the American president one time or the other. So, you know, up till now, there hadn't been any, confab between them. But apparently the Pope now is wanting to talk to him.
Well, he may get his chance. Now, I want to get over to the bots. Need any break in anywhere. Since the beginning of data mining efforts, the data has consistently held new growth coming in to a set labeled sun disease. Initially, the interpretation was that the sun would become diseased to the point that it would affect life here in the solar system. Over the years, the data supporting the sun disease has filled out, presenting a view of humans being afflicted with a mental disease due to the sun disease. The descriptors of the symptoms of the sun disease as it affects humans has now grown. These include standing and drooling. I guess, what would you call that? A zombie effect, as though they are dumbstruck. There are descriptions of, this is the important one, of a larger aggregated effect, including what is described as jitteriness, an uptick in anxiety, frenetic, and other language pointing out humans on the edge. The whole of the human driven mad, or at least very irritated by solar disease sets, had near continuous growth in past years. These data sets are describing a new, as far as we know, phenomenon that has been trying to express is sun disease effects on humanity. The new data of this processing has forecast that this spring is the point where activities relative to sun disease, in other words, they're going to begin, I guess. Well, you know people are on the edge. Anyway, that's kind of interesting. Then he goes into the earth changes. Interrupt anywhere you want. Rain?
Well, I was just going to make a comment there that you remember Stan Deo years ago was warning of changes in the sun that was going to affect us with all kind of things. In other words, he was years ago talking about changes in plant life and sea life, and he talked about changes of frequencies, new frequencies, radiations, new radiation. I mean, all kind of stuff, how the sun was going to affect the earth, including a possible fuel change. So that just goes along with what the bots talk about a little bit. I'm fascinated with, you remember, we've had drills even, military drills recently, where they drill, they talk about zombies, and that's so,
yes.
It seems so far out, you know, maybe not so much.
Well, I think if this thing goes through, that gets back to the galactic superwave and its effects. Now, remember last week or last Wednesday, Wednesday, we talked about the ascension that Cliff High was talking about and how that related possibly over to the rapture. And he said, don't take it lightly because this thing could be very real. At the end of it, he says, not that this is in any way a temporal marker for ascension, splitting of the timeline or Earth, or rising or falling densities, but it is a temporal marker for significant changes in humanity's future direction, just as we humans have always reacted to incoming ice ages with increased activity, so it is again starting to manifest, as is easily seen over these past few years. Much of this increased activity will not be pleasant as humans blindly react to the energies affecting their minds and bodies, and as those energies are coincident with large-scale changes in the local Earth environment. Humanity will not be able to determine if our sun has ever been in this region of the interstellar media in the past, and in general, humanity will be oblivious to being in it now. Most humans will simply experience, live in, and react to those unknown energies from space without thinking about them. So this is kind of interesting that they're all saying about the same thing, that there is coming a major change in human affairs. Now, the New Age claims it leads to a whole new consciousness. The Bible, I think, calls it the strong delusion. But like the bot said, there will be a disappearance of a large number of people from off the planet, which is kind of like what the rapture says, don't you think?
that's really interesting data. I mean, no doubt about it. It does make you think, though, because we are aware, I don't know if Cliff High's aware of the, you know, galactic wave and the, all of these other waves that have been coming at us and radiation, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't really know what that's going to do, but we do know that it seems to cause a paradigm shift of some kind. And you know, from some of the people that have studied this, they even expect a change even in time, some kind of change even in time. And this is really, really, you know, we're talking about over the edge kind of stuff.
Well, in as much as science will tell you if they're honest, they don't know what time is and they don't know what space is. And the two, of course, work together. But speaking about earth changes, this is what they got to say, and I know you can relate to it. Rain, more rain, and rain where there has not been rain, and then some more rain. The data sets have this described as a rain train, in the sense of cargo cars of rain being repeatedly dumped on our heads. The way that flooding has dominated the weather reports in the past years, was this replaced by winds? We now have a new rising descriptor set for rain and rain trains as being the primary supporting set for Terra entity over the rest of this year and into 2018. These sets for rain are indeed in the supporting chain for yet more flooding, but in these new sets, while the flooding is both severe and motivating people to move, the data has rain as being the word most on people's minds. There are sets that suggest even in the midst of evacuations from flooding, it will be the heavy rains that will be discussed. Within the rain sets, there are subsets for rain so extreme as to sink flat bottom boats due to the inability to bail them out fast enough. There are sets for cruise ships being rained out as all outdoor activities on the ship come to a crushing wet halt as the rains dominate. And as if the rains are not enough for our spring, the summer seasons, the data has earthquakes as frequently erupting events over the rest of this year, well into next. These earthquake sets are showing up as being in very bizarre places, which is to say, places earthquakes are usually not. These sets have lots of references to mountains having earthquakes that will be rattling down rocks on roadways, houses, and cities. Other sets have earthquakes in mountains causing streams and rivers to dam up and predictable flooding as a consequence. Natural dams created by earthquakes or slides are usually not well seeded and have a tendency to go rushing downstream at some point. So anyway, he's talking about lakes in the sky that are literally dumping water on our heads. The new rain train sets, we find that noise and immediate damage sets are going to be claiming our attention initially from the rain train experience. I'm going to stop right there. What in the world are we reading about down where you are and over? It's been nothing but rain upon rain upon rain, right?
Oh, yeah, and it'll rain for 4 days or 5 days, and then it stops for one. And then it starts all over, just like, the bots are talking. It's like a train of cars, and we just get one car after the other car after the other car. It's unbelievable. Matter of fact, a lot of the region, this region I'm in, Texas, Oklahoma, and Missouri, and Arkansas, and, a few other states here, we're getting just flooded. I mean, absolutely, the sky is just... And the horrific storms each time, and it's like one storm after another. It's like a train of storms, even, and this just continues. And I don't even have to use imagination. You know, one thing we did talk about though, Stuart, was up here it's in the like 39 to 40, 45 at night. Even my onions don't grow. It's too cool, and lots of rain. We're talking about, we're headed to the middle of May, and I don't see where we're going to actually get planting done to even have a crop, much less the harvest, and you say the same thing is happening in your area.
Yeah, they're way behind up here. It looks like your people down there are probably out of it already. What's happening up here is that some of them have planted. A lot of them are holding off still. And we'd probably be in the 60% range of everybody has their crops in. It's about 12 to 13% here, according to the Ag Department. So, yeah, there's something going on. Read this one. Record snow all through next summer. Yes, record snow for summer in the Northern Hemisphere. And then in the longer-term data, record snow and new glaciers forming for the summer of Southern Hemisphere 2018. Then he goes on to say, volcanoes back in the news. More eruptions are forecast for these next years. However, the first language about volcanoes will also evolve yet more rain. Only this will be dirty rain that will have lots of volcanic ash in the mix. These sets have that the wet ash being near to concrete when it dries. And then he talks about diasporas due to the volcanoes, whole towns to be evacuated. Other population centers is indicated to be covered in night, like, you know, the blackness of a volcano cloud, during days of volcanic eruption. Lots of ash, infrastructure damage, as the volcano is forecast as having spitting fits, in which hard particles will be explosively expelled. They will cause fires, damage electrical systems, etc., etc. Both record summer snows and record winter snows, as well as volcanoes, are showing up as being a dominant theme across the northern hemisphere over the remainder of 2017 and beyond. What does that do to your crops? We were just talking about how they can't get into fields.
You won't have any.
So we have minimal harvest, and that brings us to Joseph. The 2 years of minimal harvest and 5 years of no harvest at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the proof that we are now about to enter into Daniel's 70th week are building, I think. But I could, hopefully I'm wrong, and we got a long time to go, but I don't think so. So it's kind of interesting. And odd weather, he's talking about on the planet worldwide. And the impacts are described as severe and life-changing for anyone that lives under these rivers of rain. So there you got it. I mean, this is kind of, and he does talk about crop damage. And you and I have talked about stealth famine for how long now?
Oh, a long time.
For people to get ready, and I beg everyone listening, get ready. I think this thing can change. Now, what he claims is that this rain and the cold weather of a late spring going all the way into the end of May will suddenly stop and change to intense heat, and that there will be rapid heating and drought conditions throughout the Midwest, which is what? The breadbasket, basically, other than California. It's in the Midwest where all your corn and basic wheat and all that are grown.
Yeah.
Anyway, then he talks about perceived level of sunlight and it being burning and heating and damaging all within a few minutes of direct exposure. The data for the solar damage includes not only humans, but references to ice masses at the poles. The data sets have the South Pole calving and large ice masses only to be upstaged by the clustering of a large number of icebergs across the northern seas. The data sets have the Atlantic Ocean being very difficult for passages, with many reports and videos coming out over the summer, as well as the next 2 years of icebergs forming continents in large numbers. Isn't that interesting? So this whole thing is not good, I guess. And then he says there are going to be a lot of problems for communications without regard to the rain sets. There are sets describing a new weather wonder, which is described as near perfect conditions that last and last and last, but there's no rain.
Huh.
Slow drought, and everything dries up. Now that relates right back to the prophecies against Babylon the Great, that are rivers and streams and everything dry up. So this is fascinating. What's your take?
Well, I find it is fascinating, especially when you realize where it comes from, that this is computer language speak.
that is basically futuristic. And, you know, and what's so interesting, Stuart, you and I have followed the bots for quite some time, and we've also followed the phenomenon called the Torah codes or Bible codes for a long time. And,
yes,
you know, from what I've seen, they seem to harmonize to some degree.
They're getting closer and closer all the time. And it's getting closer and closer all the time to Native American prophecies. And, of course, the Lord said he would pour out his dreams and his visions upon all flesh. So that includes the godly, the ungodly, everybody. It's kind of like when Arnold Schwarzenegger made that first movie, The Terminator, where the destruction of the United States was by nuclear fire. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says. It's almost like the Lord is pulling out all stops to warn the people. Get ready. This is real. It's coming. And when it comes, there is no way out if you've been mocking the Lord. So this is going to get really, really interesting. And, you know, the bots are talking about shifting populations because of the weather and drought and new lands rising up out of the oceans. And this is kind of like what the Bible talks about. Any other comments before we close down?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that Thomas Horn with Skywatch TV has a new book coming out now called Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters, in which he claims there's compelling evidence of the incursions of the giants and the extraordinary technology that is involved with them and an imminent return. And that goes right along with Stan Deo's last few years. He's claimed an imminent return of or an arrival, you know, of the same thing.
Yes.
So we're getting there.
Well, if there was an arrival, we know that it's fallen angels that are arriving. They would certainly set loose their brethren if they're still chained up. And Lord knows what else they would unchain. Getting back to the bots just for a second, foods, there are several differing food crops, everything from commercial grains to private fruit that are forecast to have a significant problem going forward into this next season shift. This is to say that the summer northern hemisphere is going to be rough in the sense of bad weather, major crop losses that will reach levels forecast to affect regional employment. So there you go, folks. Not telling you to believe it, but the indications are that this really is real, really true. And all you got to do really is look around and see the bizarre weather. Now, you've got no planting down there. We've got minimal planting here. So if they don't get it in soon, they're not going to be able to grow it. And then all you got to have is a polar vortex early, like in September, and freeze everything, and then it's gone. And we have, what, 3 days of storage for food for the population? We used to have 7 years.
Yeah, they changed that. But, you know, also, Stuart, if you have a war, a world war, or catastrophic activity around the world, a lot of what we get from overseas foodstuffs will not be able to make it either.
Yeah, exactly. And if we have an EMP attack, it's over for everybody anyway. We are so dependent upon the electrical grid. And once again, I advise everyone, turn your power off for 3 days. Get out your notebook and write down notes about everything you cannot do. It's an eye-opener. And it'll really educate you very rapidly as to what you need to do to get through. And they say if we have an EMP attack, either solar or North Korea or whoever does it, might be our own Illuminati, we're done. We're toast. And that's about it. Any last comment? We got 20 seconds.
Yeah, I'll read a book about EMP attacks. You know, I've read two recently, Searching for Atlantis and Digital Winter, and they're scary.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Larry. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week. Night.